CliffCentral.com.
It's Monday morning. Good morning, everybody. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the 7th of October already. Can you believe that? Huh?
Time flies, Gareth.
Time flies, time flies.
And it's October for some.
I've been October. I haven't had a single drink this month so far.
That's good.
Not
I've been
even one.
So sober.
Okay, so.
So sober.
Yeah.
I went for breakfast with a friend of mine yesterday, and she said she totally broke the October on Friday night and Saturday night. It was just too much temptation. So I think I can do it, except in New York, there are a couple of people I know who I'm going to have to see who are not going to go easy on me, so that's going to be a problem.
I also see the one of the latest trends is aksoze.
What's that?
Soze means never. Never, never, never.
Oh, really?
So aksoze, we will not be trying October.
Oh, right. I thought you meant like never, ever, ever drink. I was like, that's a hell of a thing to
know.
Say. South African culture is, regardless of what tribe or language group or geographical area you belong to, drinking is part of what we kind of do. I know the Muslim community can exclude themselves from that. Lucky you. There are others in you know, certain communities who don't drink, but by and large, South Africans are drinkers.
Yeah.
We're a wine and beer producing country.
Yeah, but we're also a wine and beer consuming country.
Doesn't end there. Yeah.
In a big way.
Someone can't let those grapes go to waste.
No.
Deep with Umboti and whatnot. Yeah,
That's right. So, weekends. Let's have a report back. What did everybody get up to?
Well, can we pat ourselves on the back very humbly, first and foremost?
You can't pat yourself on the back humbly, but you can pat yourself on the back.
I arrived this morning to see her getting out of his car with a flashy award
in his
hand.
You guys are lucky I'm not walking around with a billboard at this point. I'm very proud to say that CliffCentral.com is an award winner.
Yes.
We won an award at the New Generation Awards this weekend for our series Blind History. Halala.
Well done, guys.
Halala and all of those great things. And actually going to an awards show reminded me of some of those old school Hollywood cliches. Like, it's an honor just to be nominated, because it really is an honor just to be nominated.
But it's not. I mean, like, look, it's great that we got this award, but you have to pay to be at these awards, which is ridiculous.
You got
to
pay.
You got to pay to be at these awards. Like, you know, this is how all these once were great media companies, now this is how they make money, is they start an awards show and then they charge you to be a participant. And
it's
then
the same in the beauty industry,
you to be there.
If you want to be
Girl's
best product.
But whatever happened to, you know, you're brilliant at this, here's an award.
Yeah.
And come to our little dinner, and you know, it's on us.
Because it could mean that somebody else is better than you, but they just didn't pay to get in.
But we are not going to focus on that.
No, but
thank you very much.
That is a good point. Look, I mean, I understand that that's how it works now, so everybody's doing it. And if you have anything of worth, you find a way of entering.
Yeah.
But to go to the actual event now, it costs money, which I think is bizarre.
It's a salam.
Imagine if I
said
to you,
not an arm and a leg, yeah.
I'd love to invite you for a braai, but you've got to pay me 250 rand to come to my braai.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? Am I invited, or are you?
What am I getting here out of
the business?
Deal? So the other little awkward thing.
My house.
The little awkward thing for us is we were under the category of best use of a podcast to promote a blog or event, sorry, a brand or an event.
Yeah.
And there were, out of all of the entries, streamlined down to 3 finalists.
Oh, good.
And we were one of those 3, obviously. But also, we were also up for Let's Be Honest, which is a segment that we did on this show.
That's right.
But I just had this niggly feeling.
How did we do
of,
with that one?
We actually had a silver for that.
Okay, so we came in second.
Yeah, we came in first and second.
All right, I like it.
But all I could think about was, imagine if we just don't win gold in this category. And we were nominated twice, but we end up only just getting silver. So I just sat there the entire way through, wringing my hands the entire evening. And you know, you're networking with people and they're asking you, what are you here for? What are you up here for? And I found myself having to practice this fake happy face to say, oh, no, but it's fine if we don't win.
Well, now you know how those Hollywood stars feel when the Oscars roll around. Or
and the cameras
Emmys
are on them.
I thought about that because, you know, when they announce the...
They put up a collage.
Yeah, they put the camera right on you so that everyone can see your reaction if you don't win. But anyway, I'm glad we did, which just says, we're on,
we're on
the right path.
Well, listen, good stuff all around. Well done to the team.
Yes.
Brad sent me an email. He says, hey, guys, regarding Gareth's 1 week of no meat last week,
which I did,
I'm giving up something for the month of October. I love my alcohol, so last year I did sober October. It was horrid, but I did it proudly. This year I'm doing no meat and no fish in 3 days so far, and it's way harder. Man, meat, a man must eat. Look how bad this deep-fried tofu is. I just ordered it at a restaurant. Anyway, I'll just let you know how it goes. Love you guys. Brad, the alcoholic carnivore, and he's attached a picture of his
Brad.
Tofu.
He signs the email alcoholic carnivore.
Carnivore, yeah. So, you know what?
How's that going, Gareth?
Yeah, I did. I had meat yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But it was I wasn't craving it. I wasn't like having massive withdrawal symptoms. I didn't feel weak because I hadn't had meat last week. It's actually all right. And I'm, by the way, I'm not doing this as some kind of, you know, test of my resilience or any of that shit. I'm just giving it a go. I'm going to see what it feels like. It really isn't a test. If I break it, I break it. If I don't, I don't.
Uh-huh.
There's no pressure on this front. So it's just a fun thing to do. And the same goes for giving up drinking for the month. Mm. I just think it's good to test yourself sometimes. See what you can and can't handle.
Mm.
Leanne? If you had to test yourself with just try it out, the socks over thing.
Well, I've done it many times before.
Oh.
For how long?
Day or two.
Okay.
many times.
Oh, you showed your wolf.
A day or two, huh? Don't overdo it.
Good for you.
This week I reckon I can make it until Thursday, because Thursday is...
Puzza Thursday.
Family pit tonight and Puzza Thursday.
Right.
Mm. So it's too much for, it's too much to say no.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But let's see.
Your weekend, Gugu, what did you do?
Sure, my weekend, Gareth, I finalized the whole moving thing, you know, changed gyms, moved from one branch to the other branch.
Have you moved out of one neighborhood and into another?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a nearer one, okay.
Yeah, so luckily.
Are you closer or further from work?
Slightly further, but it's just a straight line on the freeway, just beeline on the freeway. There was a car burning on the freeway this morning, actually, huh?
I always wonder how that happens.
Like on off Malibongwe, like proper flames.
Don't you wonder how that happens sometimes?
Yeah, at 5 a.m, how does that happen?
I don't know.
It sometimes happens while people are driving.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine's dad was driving around.
Of course you have a friend who's experienced this, Leah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not you.
And he's quite elderly.
Yeah.
He was driving and it took him a while to realize
that
the engine was on fire.
Oh, no, my cousin.
And it actually created noxious fumes that came through the vents.
Right.
And singed his eyebrows and eyelashes before he realized I needed to stop and get out the car.
Yeah, it almost happened to me yesterday, actually. I'm driving and then I just see like a bit of smoke coming through the vents. So I decide the next place I can stop, I'm going to stop this thing, turn it off and check. And then it just went away. So I carried on driving.
No eyebrows.
But you do get cars that spontaneously combust.
It's crazy. And it was a modern car, actually, that was burning.
Sometimes they'll be recalled.
Yeah, listen, if you don't, let's say, for example, you don't put oil in your car.
Yeah, well, the engine's gone.
Yeah.
It's finished.
Then that could be a problem. You know, some people, it's just amazing to me. Like, some people in their homes and their cars, they take absolutely zero responsibility. I'm talking about adults now.
Zero maintenance.
I'm not talking about someone who's just left their parents' house or they're at varsity and then they buy their first home. I'm talking about people in their 30s, even their 40s. They live... I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't expect that everybody should have everything worked out all the time, you know? I'm super organized and I just like it that way and I don't expect everyone else is like that. I've got people around me who are messy and you know, I'll go into their houses and I'll say, well, you know what, it's the way they live and that's not a problem because they know where everything is and it's their
system,
kind of,
it works.
It's their environment. Yeah. Yeah, sure. And I'm not one of those people who goes and goes, oh my God, what a mess you have here. But there are some people who do zero maintenance on their cars.
Dude.
They never bother to check whether their tires are bald or not. They never bother to see whether there's oil in the engine. They never check whether they've got like windscreen wiper fluid. They don't ever lift the bonnet on their car. Ever. Ever lift the bonnet
Leanne,
on their car.
Do you check these things?
There could be animals nesting under there.
Being a conformist, I have a service book and I only go to the dealer where I got the car.
So you're quite fastidious about this.
But this time, I'm 5,000 Ks over my service.
Oh, no. That's horrible. Yeah.
And my car is
I can hear it when you start every morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good.
So I need to get that sorted out. It's just been like time.
You know what? The thing is, even if you don't get it serviced because of whatever, just do an oil change. That's going to
preserve. I always do an oil check.
Yeah. No, but a change as well.
Okay.
Periodically.
So take out the bad oil and put in new.
Yeah, because that's going to maintain the life of your engine.
And also this time I'm thinking, do I go to the dealership? My car's got 100,000 Ks on the clock. Do I just go to one of those, I don't know, it's black and orange in branding and it's you pay like, it says from 300 Rand for a what? Service.
Oh,
seeing them at the traffic lights, those guys handing out pamphlets?
Yeah, I mean, you can go anywhere as long as you read the terms and conditions properly. Make sure that they're a legit operation.
This conversation doesn't know anything. Me now.
See, Sia knows nothing about this. Like, I don't think Sia knows.
Yeah, let's find out if he's ever opened the bonnet.
There is a difference between do I open up the bonnet?
Have you ever?
Or do I get someone else to? No. I don't know. Like, I don't even know where that stick thing is that holds up your bonnet. Oh, no.
Sia. There are grades of this, right? I don't expect that all of us should be either completely useless or that we should all be the kind of people who can listen to the engine with a stethoscope and figure out what's wrong. And, you know, there's some people who they spend their weekend doing stuff to their car.
Yeah.
Like that's another –
that's a whole different
opposite
level.
Extreme, you know?
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like some people, the tap will come off in their bathroom and they'll –
never fix it.
They'll just that's fine.
The end.
Yeah, they just won't use the bath or they won't use the shower.
I actually have a friend like that. I have a friend. No. We now know going to her house.
Yeah, she just leaves it.
There's, you know, she has one of those taps with the two switches. The red one, you would assume for hot, and the blue one for cold. We now know the red one is for cold water.
Yeah, she's never bothered to.
No. Some plumber screwed it up, and we now live with that.
You don't need a toolbox with a million tools in it. You need like four things in your house to be able to fix that, and she's just not interested.
No.
And look, I know it's different for guys and girls, and like a lot of women who live on their own, they don't have to do this stuff.
I've got a toolbox that'll outdo any of your
that'll work.
I'll bet you.
Many guys.
I've actually got a tool cupboard.
Have you?
With my toolbox, and then rows of drawers of screws and fittings and plumbing.
And all organized.
Organized.
Did you buy that or inherit it?
Bought.
Seriously?
Yeah.
She you know
likes,
how to use
she
it.
Likes fixing
my mum builds houses.
Yeah.
Wow.
She loves it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, also money plays a big part.
No, sure.
You know, you've got to prioritize. Things change. So
I love fixing stuff around the house, like finding stuff to fix or change. I enjoy that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I do too. It's nice to walk around. I go from room to room and I like check that everything in there is right.
Mm.
Like if something's dirty, I'll clean it myself. If there's something that's out of place or if a door handle's come off or, you know, like drawers and cupboards, you often have the little...
They get loose.
The little screws
and
get loose.
And strip sometimes.
And even the hinges, you just fix those. It feels good.
Satisfying.
When I get into bed at night after I've done all that stuff, I'm like, okay, everything is in order. I can go to sleep. And don't worry. I get it wrong a lot. There's stuff that I can't fix. There's stuff that I need help with. There's stuff that costs a fortune and you just put it off because that's crazy, right? Like if you need to replace a floor or whatever, you wait for months before.
Yeah.
You know, like eventually you go, okay, I can't take this anymore. I'm either going to have to find the money or I'm going to have to try and do it myself.
I've still got that broken jack in my laptop.
I can see it.
And purely because I know if I take it to the iStore, it's going to be taken away from me and I need to work. That's number one.
Yeah, that's
number two. There's a new center in my area, really nice center, and there is a computer shop there. But it's these two guys who are standing at the door calling you in for business. They're bored and they need the business. So I stopped by. I didn't have my laptop with me. I was just passing by and I said, this is what's happened. Can you fix it? And they both ran from the back. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we can fix it. But now I don't know whether to trust them or not.
Just hold it up. Let me see what's going on there. If there's any. So none of it is sticking out.
Mm-mm.
Let me just see.
Oh, okay.
None of it is sticking out. No, you could. You know what? You could do this with a pair of like. There's a very particular pair of pliers you can get, or even wire cutters.
Wire cutters.
And you could pull it out with that.
You got a toolbox, Leanne.
Mm,
side cutters. You know, like the small one.
I wonder if I could do this for you.
I'd pay you $500.
This machine, shame. How long has it been working? I think we could do that, huh? I think we could fix that.
So have you just been functioning without sound for the past couple of days?
Yeah, if I need sound, I take it out of my phone.
Sure. That's amazing. All right, Sia, says Carl, the friend of yours just needs to swap the labels on the taps. It's probably not even a plumbing thing.
Yeah, it's the labels.
Like the cap on the tap.
Yeah, that's it is.
That's the front label.
Yeah.
That thing does come off.
Yeah.
And then you just put it on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. It depends, though.
She doesn't care, though. No. She doesn't care, right?
Yeah. Doesn't change the price of my bread either.
It would drive me ballistic. But some people
especially that, Gareth. Especially that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also have a tap with the goodies on the wrong side.
Yeah.
But no, the blue one is cold and the red one is hot. But they feel naturally on the wrong side.
Oh, you mean
left and right?
Yeah.
Your hot should always be on the left and your cold should always be on the right.
Hot on the left.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hot on the left.
And it took me ages to, you know, I kind of left it. Then my brother said, have you noticed that the plumbers put this in upside down?
Yeah, it's possible.
And it's one of those long, spouty kitchen sink things. So it's pretty obvious. It even leans towards the window instead of me.
Then it's definitely
the wrong way. That's
took me a while.
Yeah. That would mean I'd have to redesign my whole house.
Sure.
Start again.
What?
No, if someone put in a tap wrong, it would. I'd have to have it chopped
off. I've gone easily like 2 weeks in my bedroom without the main bulb working.
Oh, no.
I was like, you know what? I'll just use the side lamps. I'm like, too much effort, because I do have a bit of like a high ceiling. Like, too much effort to then get the step ladder. Yeah, get the step ladder.
Minutes.
Then I have to get up there and change.
You got a bulb? Nah.
Yeah, now I do. But I went easily like 2-3 weeks of like setting the mood with the side lamps rather.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from. I wasn't abused as a child. I don't have issues around, you know, something terrible is going to happen. It's not obsessive compulsive. It gives me huge joy to have things working. When you switch a switch, something goes on. When you switch it off, it goes off. It just makes me happy when it works.
I think for me it is a slight rebellion thing, because my mother is insanely fanatical about, like, you know, things working and things being clean. And, you know, she instilled in us, we always have to sleep in clean PJs and look good even when we sleep, because perish the thought, we die in our sleep. I'm like, what?
Oh, you meet your ancestors.
What does that even mean? She goes, no, if you were to die, at least, you know, let the undertakers come in here and you look good. I'm like, no, we would have died by then, so I don't care. She called it spring cleaning every single weekend, where, you know, Saturday morning, it was like a family thing. We wake up at like the crack of dawn and we start cleaning the house. So, oh no, I can't.
My grand's name was Dawn, so that saying was always awkward.
Ah, Leanne, I don't want to think about
Mfundo says, yay, I'm listening live again. In the words of Trevor Gumby and the Trevor Gumby Associates, make Monday your bitch. That's right. That is correct. Make Monday your bitch today. Don't let anything get in your way.
Timeless saying.
It's great. Yeah. It was nice to see Trevor the other day when we did Pure Conversations, the first episode. He came in and he was part of it. And it looks like he's in a happy place. It looks like he's doing well.
Hey, morning. It's Mpihleng here. Just like Sia, the light in my bedroom also is no longer working. So it's been a week now. I am not even bothered about fixing it, eh? I just get in there. I don't even have a side lamp, so I switch on candles at night.
What?
So, yeah. I'm not even bothered about it, actually.
Could not manage.
He just sneaks into darkness every night.
Yeah.
Love it.
I wonder if we're on the minority or the majority with this.
This is interesting news from Celeste. She says, guess who got her driver's license on Friday?
Oh, wait. Oh. Is that the same lady?
Was she in her 40s, I think?
Amazing.
Yeah, so she's, well done, Celeste. That's
maybe let's find out what she did right this time. Did she, you know, pay up the monies that were required?
Or no, did she get it clean? Remember, she refused to last time. She did it properly.
So oh, that's congratulations.
Very,
that's
great. Oh, isn't that nice?
Good.
All right. Then we've got lots of other messages here. Lots of people with their own kind of October messages. A lot of people doing October and a lot of people not eating meat anymore, which is interesting. And then someone sent me a brown car from Malaysia. There are lots of brown cars.
This morning.
Yeah. I got into the shower last week with the window open and the podcast on the bathroom speaker, normal day. Then some pupil writes in about Hitler and Gareth shouts and rants about Hitler, saying the name repeatedly. I live in Munich. He must not be named Hitler. My neighbors probably hate me now. Thanks.
Oh no.
That is from Bulin. She says, no more Hitler, please.
You know you've now said it like twice or three times now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
It was funny, though, when it came up, right?
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, well, just, and in Munich, they don't like that.
Oh, that's a little awkward.
All right. We got Anthea popping in a little bit later with the money shot.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk about the five things that you need to know this morning. We'll get an update on the cryptocurrencies too, which we haven't done for some time. And a bunch of other stuff, including two dudes who are popping by from a business called Funder. They basically are there to help small businesses because they've realized there's a huge gap for small businesses that can't get funding. You know, they can't borrow from a bank because banks don't lend small businesses money, especially if they don't know what they're up to and they don't have a proven track record. And they're not interested in helping the big guys because those guys can easily get loans. So it's really for those people who've just started a little, you know, mom and pop shop or a one or two man operation, and they're looking for funding to get their business to the right level. So these guys are going to pop in and maybe it will help you in your business. I don't know.
Hopefully they're not like the dragons from the Dragon's Den.
No, but they could be. We'll have to find out. Yes. All right. So it's now 6:30. We're going to get into the five things you need to know. Let's start with stories that you may have picked up on over the weekend. Or if you're like me, you probably didn't pay any attention to the news over the weekend. First thing is that Duduzane Zuma is expected to testify at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into State Capture on Monday, today. Mm. According to the Sunday statement by the commission spokesperson, Zuma's testimony will begin at 10 a.m. The former president's son has been fingered by former finance deputy minister Nkabisi Jonas and former ANC member of parliament Feki Mentor as having facilitated underhanded deals between the state and the controversial Gupta family. Well, if that isn't true, someone tell us why he has an apartment in Dubai and he drives an SLS Mercedes and he didn't get all of that because he's super talented or came up with a brilliant invention. How did he get all that then?
Where did he get it from? Yeah.
How can he live so large if he's just one of the employees of the Guptas, which is what everybody tells us he is? He's got a great life. The guy's traveling all the time. And
I remember him when he was still driving a Golf. I knew him in Durban.
Did you?
A city Golf.
Yeah.
A little black city Golf. That's the dude I remember.
Yeah.
And then I bumped into him like years later. I think I bumped into him last year at Daytona in that SLS. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm a journalist, so I drive these cars. I'm like, what are you doing here? He avoided that question. Didn't tell me what he was doing.
Yeah.
We all know what he was doing at Daytona.
Yeah, probably buying a new car.
Yeah.
Anyway, he used to pop in here from time to time, but he stopped doing that as soon as it got a little bit warm.
Sure.
So, yeah, there it is. The former president's son about to testify at the commission against state capture. The former deputy finance minister wrote an affidavit which stated that he was called to a meeting with Zuma, AJ Gupta and Hlongwane, where Gupta apparently offered him 600 million rand. Remember, in cash.
Sure.
And the position of finance minister if he agreed to work with them.
Yeah, I'm still trying to put the picture together of 6 million in cash.
600 million.
Ooh.
Well, I don't think they had it there, but they said they would make it available.
Ooh.
Or there was a certain amount that was offered. I can't remember. You know, this feels like ages ago. And that's the problem, is they're having these commissions of inquiry. And, like, this stuff did happen 7 years ago. You know, 5 or 7 years ago. It's a long time. And you forget very quickly. I mean, Cyril's been president for, like, 2.5 years.
And I understand the platform and the need for such, but I'm not holding my breath in terms of great revelations or things that will, you know, make great strides, because we did have the former president also have his time at the inquiry.
That got us nowhere.
So let's see.
Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula has warned road users and traffic law enforcement officers that bribes continues to contribute to the carnage on people's on the roads. Balula was addressing senior traffic law managers at the launch of Transport Month. He said, "We do not take bribes. No more cold drink. Because you take cold drink, you will be allowing that person to kill your mother, your sister, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend because of a cold drink."
Mm. Cold drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fikile Mbalula would have you locked up for that. He has called officers to do their job without any favor. The ARTA group have threatened legal action to stop government moving ahead with the implementation of the ARTA bill. ARTA says that it's in the final stages of its legal challenge and aims to submit its application to the courts next month. This comes after Mbalula announced that the ARTA amendment bill would be implemented in June next year. So you've still got a couple of months before they start with their demerit system. ARTA aims to stop government's plan to implement ARTA dead in its tracks. The organization says the plan is fundamentally flawed and has failed in 2 pilot projects in Gauteng. Which is true, it has actually failed. And I don't know how a government that seriously can't get any administration right is going to get this right. Mm. It's going to be a hell of an operation for them to start doing properly. But let's see, you know?
Yeah,
I'm with Arta on this one. And then the South African Communist Party General Secretary Bladen Zimande on Sunday said they had no issue with convicted killer Yanis Valus being granted parole, provided he released who else was involved in the plot to murder Chris Hani. He was delivering the keynote address at the launch of the party's Red October campaign in Mthatha, Cape Town. Eastern Cape. Walush is currently serving a life sentence in Pretoria for killing Chris Hani outside his Boksburg home in 1993. The High Court will hear on Monday an application by Walush's lawyers for him to be released on parole. How do you feel about this? Because I sort of do think he should come clean if he wants to get out. I don't think that's too much to ask by Bladen Zimande. Blade's like, you can be released on parole. You've definitely served your time. It's, what, 25 years? 27 years, same amount
since 1993.
Yeah,
it's 26
Maths years.
That's tough, guys.
So, all right, almost as long as Madiba was in jail for the murder. It was clearly a politically motivated murder, but we still don't know, like, who was all the way at the back of it. We know that there was him and there was Clive Darby Lewis, but we don't know anything else. And remember, they were stumm the whole way through the trial. They didn't say anything. So if he wants to get out, just come clean and then you
can
get out.
Imagine what a relief it would be to come clean after holding this so long.
26 years. So I'm not in favor of anyone being locked up right to the end. And even if they were horrible people, and there are so many patchy things about this that we still need to know. If he's prepared to tell us, he should be able to get out. If he's not prepared to tell us, leave him in there. That's what I reckon.
Let him stay.
Yeah. 3 months ago, former President Jacob Zuma insinuated that some members of the ANC were behind an attempt to assassinate Hani.
Oh.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would change the game if we found that out.
If it was someone inside the ANC who was behind this, because we all thought it was a right-wing thing, you know? Anyway, on the back of bilateral talks with Nigeria, President Cyril Ramaphosa visited the Department of Home Affairs on Friday to ensure that asylum seekers were treated properly. Well, they will be while you're around, and then as soon as you're out of there, they'll be treated like filth again. the department have been accused of being slow to issue asylum or other documentation, forcing foreign nationals to live as illegals. He addressed staff and senior managers at Home Affairs in Tshwane. "We're about to demonstrate to South Africans and to the world that Home Affairs is at the top level when we introduce the e-visa system, which is world-class by any means that you could describe. But at the same time, the people of our country and the rest of the world will be expecting Home Affairs to continue to push the boundaries and push the limits and demonstrate that it can do even better than what we're doing now," Ramaphosa said. He met with his Nigerian counterpart, Muhammadu Buhari, on a Thursday state visit to Pretoria. The president's reached 32 bilateral agreements following the gathering. And of course, the president of Nigeria was particularly worried about the way that foreign nationals, including Nigerians, get treated in South Africa. Our president was saying, "Yes, of course, but you know, it's not as bad as you think." And I think it was. So let's see what happens there. And in the Vatican, Pope Francis opened a synod on Sunday to champion the Amazon's poverty-stricken and isolated indigenous communities by condemning the destructive interests he blamed for the fires that devastated the region. There is something so absolutely ironic about a Catholic church which completely destroyed South America some 400 or 500 years ago. Destroyed. In the interests of spreading Christianity, wiped out millions of people, changed the geography of that continent, forever plunged it into chaos and madness, and certainly there are still some of those traces of that madness left. There's something about the church that did that, now trying to get involved with indigenous communities, the few communities that managed to avoid Catholic interference all those years ago and have survived in the deepest jungles in order to make it out of the way of the conquistadors of those days. Now he's suddenly interested in, you know, saving the Amazon. It's fascinating. It's
People forget.
Yeah. Well, I mean, none of us were here 500 years ago, but that's kind of where it all started. Anyway, he says the fire set by interests that destroy, like the fire that recently devastated Amazonia, is not the fire of the gospel.
Oh.
He said before the bishops from the 9 countries of the Pan-Amazonian region and representatives of indigenous peoples. Shame. I suppose he's trying to, you know, trying to do
trying
something.
Trying to what?
He's trying to be a good person. He's trying to make it a positive difference. So good for you, Pope Francis. But I'm afraid your church is the one with all kinds of fire and blood on its hands, especially when
things
it comes to South America.
Make you go,
Exactly.
That's all.
There we go. Alrighty. Do you want to know what's happening in the world of Bitcoin? $8,065, Ethereum at $163. And we're going to find out from Anthea what's happening in the rest of the market, because it's time for the money shot. Hey, Anthea, what's happening?
Good morning. All good. Nice, hot, summery day.
Have you seen I've kept my money plant alive?
Where is
it? It's in my office. It's very happy.
Oh, I didn't go into your
flourishing
office. It would be very bold of me.
You can go into my office.
Okay, thanks. Next time.
You can.
Just do a little sneak peek every time you come in here.
Have a look and see your money plant thriving.
Your money plant.
And yeah, you're more than welcome to come and sit in my office. I have a new couch.
Oh.
Yes.
Maybe not the couch, Anthea, but check out the office.
There's so many things I can say. This couch.
I know.
Like,
yes.
Stop.
Exactly what you're thinking. Don't say that.
Okay.
All right. So if my money plant is thriving, does that mean the markets are as well?
Not exactly. It was quite a tumultuous week last week. I mean, it's the same story over and over. Trade wars, Brexit. It's nonstop. And we don't really have much in the way of company news. So there's nothing really to bolster the market. We had a couple of trading updates, like from Raubex, which works in the construction and mining industry, saying that headline earnings per share was going to be up between 70 and 90%, and that government orders were coming through, and that government was actually starting to pay. So that was quite good news, and I think we potentially, this was probably the first sign I've seen of some sort of turnaround in the local economy. But globally, it's a mess. Manufacturing numbers were terrible, including South Africa's. We had IHS Markets, South Africa PMI, so PMI stands for Purchasing Managers Index, contracted to 49.2, and you'll remember that 50 mark is kind of the midpoint. You know, anything above 50 is expansion, anything below 50 is contraction. And it's made up of two things. It's made up of output and new orders. Output fell, no, sorry, new orders fell for the 15th successive month.
Sure.
And so it's just looking absolutely dire. You know, so we're stuck kind of, and I think, I honestly am thinking that government are trying really hard, but we've had a decade of a disaster. We haven't taken advantage of the global upturn. Now the global economy is slowing down, and we don't really have a way to take advantage of kind of government trying to fix things.
And then when Tito does put out some kind of a plan, he's forced to apologize for it.
Oh, I didn't hear him apologize for it.
Yeah, he was forced by certain quarters in the ANC to apologize for his plan because it doesn't fit with the general left-leaning ideas of the ANC. And suddenly he's the finance minister is forced to retract or at least apologize
what
for
was
what
was missing in the plan.
Well,
land expropriation,
yeah,
I bet.
Probably land expropriation, probably a whole lot more, you know,
political stuff, right?
Regulation and interference in the economy, less free market principles.
Okay, yeah.
There are a lot of people in the ANC who still really do not have new ideas since the 1940s and 50s.
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then they wonder why things aren't growing.
Yeah. I heard an interesting interview from an enterprise and supplier development beneficiary who grows chickens on a chicken farm and offers feed and all sorts of things. And he was saying, guys, the way I built my business was actually to go to government and take advantage of the assistance that they're giving you. And he says it's so funny because he'll speak to his compatriots or other kind of chicken farmers and they don't even know about it. So kind of if you're a business person, I almost feel like you're not doing your homework if you're not aware of what the government's doing.
Right.
So this is a very change in sentiment, what I'm normally all very negative about in South Africa. But I am, last week, definitely I saw some green shoots, if you like. So how am I going to take advantage of
that? I was talking about this last week as well, because we went to an event, met some people there like, Stephen Kosseff, ex of Investec.
Oh, he's I got thought you were going to say the mining and
he's got a cool-off week, cool-off year. He's not allowed to participate in anything banking-related.
How funny is
but
that?
But I also saw Magda from Signia. I saw, who's the other the guy? Oh, Richard Wainwright, who's the current CEO of Investec. I saw some prominent business people. And a lot of them are talking about these green shoots that you just mentioned, that there are things that are starting to happen in certain areas that are giving them pause for a little bit of positivity.
And I'm what's the word I'm looking for? I don't easily fall for the hype and the talk because I know what business people are like, right? They'll try and sell their business and try to get you to buy and say, you know, come and invest in my business. Things are looking good. I'm skeptical is the word. But yeah, I'm also quite kind of a little bit noticing things happening. And then, of course, it was the mining in Durban last week as well.
How did that go?
So here I am skeptical because most of the CEOs were trying to put a positive spin on things every time they got questioned about the future of the industry. I was going, no, this is not a great – mining's not a great industry to be in. I mean, I don't think South Africa can suddenly switch off coal and go to renewable energy. That's not going to happen if you think so.
Sure.
So, you know, we've got to hang in there. But there was a lot of talk of renewable energy and all exciting things. Globally, we've already seen gold spike or rally quite high because it's such a safe haven metal. And then the other thing is rhodium and palladium for catalytic converters in cars. The demand, funnily enough, is still there, even though there have been supply issues because it's kind of offsetting. So those three kind of precious metals, if you like, will probably continue to be supported. But I don't really see how this will carry on. And you know, there's a lot of talk of China putting forward stimulus measures because their economy seems to be slowing as well. And so you probably see short-term spikes in things like steel and iron ore because of the Chinese stimulus packages. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't think it's that exciting.
All right.
The other thing that happened in the market, well, besides the rugby on Saturday, literally volumes on Saturday when the rugby started plummeted like there was nothing. You could not buy or trade shares on the JSE when the rugby started on Friday with like in quantities, maybe one or two shares, 10 shares, 100 shares, 1,000 shares, whatever. But like if you were trying to do a million rand trade, there was no way. So like, yeah, traders, everyone just down tools in the market on Friday.
It was kind of funny ridiculous, to see. Right? Kind of,
yeah. No. South Africa did do okay though, didn't they? But the other thing that came out was foreign ownership of bonds in South Africa, which has now fallen, government bonds, has now fallen to 37%. So ownership, foreign ownership of our government bonds has fallen 37% from a high in March last year of 43%, which is quite a lot. I mean, it doesn't sound a lot, but it is a lot. These are billions of rands that we're talking about. And this was even before Moody's have downgraded us, because we all know that if Moody's downgrades us, foreigners are going to have to sell our bonds because it will no longer be part of the government bond index, the World Government Bond, Barclays' government right. bond index, right? And this is despite a couple of weeks ago us putting out, what was it, $4 billion, yes, in euro bonds, selling $4 billion of euro bonds. And us being currently the highest yielding bond in the emerging market bond index. So sure. we're paying the most for our debt.
That's not good.
No.
Not at
all. But even then investors are going, well, I don't really, I'm not really interested. Here's another interesting one. Engen service stations.
Sure.
They're owned by Petronas, which is the Malaysian National Petroleum Company, and 26% Pombani, which you might know, Putuman Shloko, who was yes. head of MTN. They're going to list next year, they said.
Engen will.
Engen, yeah. Mm. So just the subsidiary, Engen will list.
Okay.
And they're going to use the proceeds of that to upgrade a plant in Durban, which is, I think, again, is very exciting. In fact, I was speaking at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and I drove through the N3 from the Durban airport, and there's a whole like distribution center going up there with huge distributions, interchange with huge distribution centers from Pick and Pay, I think it was. Mr. Price was definitely there. So it's like this whole hub going on of a kind of growth, which is fantastic. And another green shoot.
Yeah. Right? So, okay. Let's take it. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
And then there were a couple of other kind of small company bits and bobs of news, like Bidcorp saying that they were selling Best Foods, their UK operations. They've already written it down as a discontinued operation, so it doesn't really impact on earnings per share or the share price particularly. But it's interesting to see again that they're drawing towards their core and getting rid of anything that's non-core.
Okay.
And here's a big one. Well, big one for my industry anyway. 4 years after Third Circle, which is an asset management business, lost nearly two-thirds of its value in just 2 days of trading, December 2015, which is about the time when President Zuma changed his finance minister, if you remember that
day. Yes.
In fact, I remember you calling me that Sunday night going, oh my God, Anthea, did you just see what happened?
Yeah.
Panic. Yes, no, it's okay, Gareth. I'm also panicking with you.
It was not a good day. Yes.
Met Collective Investment Schemes is their manco, their management company for this unit trust. And Fisker, which is the FSCA, Financial Sector Conduct Authority.
Wow, that's a great one, FSCA.
FSCA. Well, they were FSB before, right? Now yeah. they're FSCA, so we just call them FSCA.
All right, great.
They fined MetCI, the manco, 100 million rand for not having proper risk management processes in place checking that Third Circle, who was the underlying asset manager, had excess exposure to derivatives and had lost two-thirds of the value. I mean, I think what's going to be interesting about this is whether or not investors will get their money back. So I've heard that investors won't get their money back, but I'd be very surprised. People like me have paid thousands of rands in insurance every month so that if anything like this does happen, one of my fund managers goes rogue, heaven forbid, I will hunt him or her down, sure. that we are covered, you know.
Okay.
So I'd be surprised if investors didn't get them or at least a portion of their money back.
Okay.
And then we saw U.S. non-farm payrolls increase by 136,000 for September. They were expecting 145,000 new jobs, so they were disappointed. The market was a bit disappointed. But unemployment, the lowest it's been in 50 years, at 3.5% in the U.S. now. So amazing things happening there.
That's very good. That's
when you take some tips.
Yeah, and creating
We've
jobs.
We've created a lot of jobs. My administration has made the most jobs.
It's a lot of jobs.
Very few Americans do not have a job.
Just, I have to caveat that with the actual hourly wage, though, has fallen, right?
So yeah.
Be careful. They're increasing jobs, but they're paying less.
Ooh.
So the Americans are taking home less every month, even though the unemployment is at a 50-year low.
Okay.
And then, of course, just the last thing to add on top of that, that the World Trade Organization approved Trump's trade, retaliation against Europe. And the Trump administration are going to take advantage of what they call carousel retaliation. So in other words, they're now not going to be buying things like Irish and Scotch whiskey, French wine, olives, cheese, you know the story from Europe.
Yep.
And the carousel part of it is that they can actually just change whatever and put increased tariffs on whichever sector they want to. It doesn't, like, once they decide that it's red wine, it doesn't have to stay that way for decades until they change. They can just decide tomorrow that actually it's yogurt. I think businesses in Europe are going to suffer a bit. But hopefully we'll have a positive day today. Asia's opened higher. Hopefully follow that through.
I'm holding thumbs.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It's just before 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, and your Monday morning. We're here to look after you, take care of you, make sure that you know what's going on in the world and you can take to the road this morning and get to work and have some idea of what's happening in the world around you. You don't want to be stuck on your own with no idea of what's happening, so we'll get into some news. We'll talk about some of the big stories that you'll find online today and all the things that are interesting. Well, at least a few. Leanne always finds very bizarre lists of things as well. I have a list of things.
Oh, I just saw a preview of what you'll bring up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, already weird.
Well, I have the ultimate list. If you're unhappy with your life, it's your responsibility to change it, and I will tell you how.
Hashtag Monday motivation.
Could you wish for more? Huh? I mean, isn't that exactly what you've asked for? So we'll get into that this morning, and a whole lot more. Gugu is, what car are you driving this week? Your own?
Yeah, this week I'm driving my own. Sad. Getting a bike, though, at the end of the week.
I do like seeing what Gugu drives in every day. Yeah, sometimes it's interesting.
You never chat about it, Gareth.
No, not really.
I don't know you like seeing it.
Not much of a chatter. I just like to see it.
He's much of a chatter.
Okay. You interested in bikes?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll show you a bike.
That sounded convincing.
I'll
show you one. Show you one.
Okay.
Maybe get you riding at some point.
No.
Okay.
All right. I had to buy a downlight a few weeks ago. This is from who is this? Pabalu. I had to buy a downlight a few weeks ago. I went on to two shops before I could find the exact same cool temperature light bulb. Well, isn't that because you're a specialist, Pabalu? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's amazing. You actually knew which one it was. They don't e-wallet for bribes, apparently. You can reverse it immediately after driving away. I did the same with my sister, sent her $500, and she claimed she didn't receive it, so I just reversed it and told her I don't trust the system. That's useful, from Tato. So if you e-wallet someone some money, and they don't draw it,
If they don't draw it,
it comes back
within a certain period, it comes back to you. Or, like Babala is saying, you can actually call it back or pull it back, whatever, retract.
Gugu is as much at fault in that scenario as the crooked cop. Gugu, don't ever complain about law enforcement in the country again. You are part of the problem. Huh. That's very, very rough words from Lynn this morning for you.
Remorseful. Damn it.
Yeah, you better be remorseful.
Terrible.
Yeah, you should.
Sorry, Lynn.
Gugu, do you know that you're admitting to a crime on radio? That's just absurd. Okay.
That's from Ali, who says you're admitting to a crime.
Look, Ali, I was just being honest, man.
Morning team, any idea why the Telegram app says you were last seen on the 28th of August and I'm not getting any messages? All other contacts of mine are fine and WhatsApp seems okay. Very strange, dudes. So, dudes, thank you very much. You can carry on. You just messaged us on this, so... clearly it's working. I wouldn't worry too much.
Mm.
Yeah. Stop panicking. Run! Run!
Don't panic.
Just explain where that comes from again, in case people don't know.
It's very strange because I'm currently reading an article on the 2019 list of the most dangerous airlines in the world.
No. Which one's on there?
I'll tell you after the break.
We'll find out.
Cliffhanger vibes.
Okay. All right. So all of it's coming up in a little while. We'll take your calls and your thoughts as well. If you've got something on your mind, you know how to get hold of us, right? All you have to do is give us a call, or you can message us directly on 0797482090. It's really not very difficult.
CliffCentral.com.